Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club.
Right. Am I doing it?
There
am I
you go.
Now?
You're
all right, it's very exciting. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime. It was very funny backstage, if we can give a little window. We were like,
sure.
You remember to turn on the mics? And Pete was like, I didn't. Alex was like, you idiot. And then you didn't do it either.
Oh, man, wait. You switched my mics. You switched my mics.
Nope.
Prank. This is cool.
Speaking of good pranks, so we've talked about this a little bit on the show, but this year is going to be our 10th anniversary.
Holy shit.
Show. We're old. Thank you
what
for
a
clapping.
Life we've led. That we are going to go. Oh, I know. The prank?
It's our 10th anniversary, so we decided we're going to go on a cruise together.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's pretty exciting. You guys want to talk about the cruise while I go fix these batteries?
Great.
Yeah.
So we're going on a cruise in January. Fan 2C is the name of the cruise, and it's a cruise where we'll be out on it with a bunch of other people, and we're going to interview them and do live shows there and do a whole thing. And try not to catch a horrible disease.
It's going to be awful because I have to room with Justin.
And we've already started to dress alike. So it's a bad... We're going to slowly become... It's true. Well, we were Jedi married on the show, as we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
So I think this is sort of our honeymoon five years later. You and I in a tiny ship room, desperately trying not to vomit on each other.
It's going to be...
It's going to be awesome.
I'm super excited about it that I don't have to stay in a room with you guys. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, how did that work? Yeah. When they chose... where are you staying? You staying with the captain?
I'm driving the ship.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Speaking of driving the ship, we should probably move on and introduce our guests. Very excited to have them here. They are the co-writers of Archie Meets the Ramones, which I hear is a rock band of some sort.
Oh my God. You are also Archie, wrong about
really that.
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out when we interview them. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Segura and Matt Rosenberg.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
What's up, gentlemen?
Have a seat, have a microphone.
Hello.
Sit down, relax.
Hello. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Archie Meet the Ramones.
Yes.
That's crazy. Alex, you've done a couple of these mashup books for Archie at this point. Did you, after being successful with the first couple, did you end up pitching them and be like, hey, what about the Ramones? And they're like, sure, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it was surprisingly easy as far as those things go. Matt had a connection with the Ramones, and, you know, Archie Kiss did pretty well, and Archie's kind of gotten a reputation.
Sorry, you can't skip by he had a connection with the Ramones. What is your connection?
Yeah, what was your magical connection to the Ramones?
I used to work in music, so I was friends with a manager who was friends with a manager.
That's how it always works.
Yeah, really,
so I get it.
A really close connection. But I mentioned it to him that I was like, I like to do a Ramones comic because I love the Ramones. And he was really excited. So.
He was like, yeah, Spider-Man meets the Ramones. You're like, no, some plucky teenagers are going to meet the Ramones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens? Give us the pitch for the book. How do Archie meet the Ramones? Is it a battle of the bands situation, or what's going on?
It is. It's a battle of the bands. There is some time travel. It's Sabrina.
Oh, sure.
Sabrina is not surprisingly involved. And we just wanted to really have the Archies learn how to be a band. And the best way to learn how to be a band is from the Ramones. And so there's a lot of hat tips for the fans. I think you threw in a lot of them, Matt.
Yeah, I think the idea of learning how to play music from the Ramones, I think, is both like brilliant and really funny because the Ramones were so specifically the Ramones that trying to copy them is not something you think of as necessarily the best idea, but the Archies try anyway.
Yeah. I'm getting you're the Ramones expert and you're the Archies expert. Is that?
I mean, I'm a Ramones fan, and Matt's also an Archie fan, so it was actually really cool. Once we got the logistic stuff down and the deal was set, Matt literally came to the office and we hashed it out and then split the script halfway and then edited each half. And so it was, as far as collaborations go, it was pretty painless.
It's a nice office.
Yeah. That's a high watermark.
Yeah. Cool.
It was not annoying.
Nearly painless.
It was not that annoying.
Yeah, I did not have a bad time.
Yeah. Great dentist.
That's actually the cover blurb.
Yeah, good. Was there anything, when you were going through the process, was there anything that crossed the line a little bit on either side? Like, oh, that would be a good Ramones thing, but it wasn't right for Archie, or vice versa?
Like throwing a liquor bottle at someone.
Yeah.
That's a Reggie thing to do, right?
Reggie does get hit by a bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler.
I don't think so, really. I mean, I think both the, you know, there's little nods that maybe if you're a Ramones fan are a little dark for an Archie book, and there's little things like that, but nothing we were told not to do, at least.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit edgier than, say, the Archie stuff you'd find in a digest, but it's not as edgy as the Ramones could get in their music. So
you had mentioned time travel. Does that mean we get a little CBGBs in there? Like, what's going on?
Like the store that's there now? Can we finally see?
Yeah, you get to see the store and buy a photo, and that's cool. Kind of they actually only jump back 10 days, so that's the big twist.
Legendary. Yeah.
No, it was actually a lot of fun, especially working with Giselle, who's the artist, just getting a lot of cameos and cool little hat tips to everything from the period, and not just CBGBs, but like Max's Kansas City and all that stuff.
Nice. So.
Yeah, it has a good Lower East Side of New York
feel.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You like the Lower East Side.
So does it take place in Riverdale, or does it take place on the Lower East Side?
It starts in Riverdale.
Okay.
And then they hop back and meet the Ramones in the Lower East Side.
Yeah, there we go.
Classic hop back to New York City.
Yeah. Riverdale's not far away.
Yeah.
It's right up in the Bronx.
Riverdale's in the Bronx?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that true?
If that is the Riverdale in the Archie comics.
That's the real question.
Yeah.
Probably not. But there is a place called Riverdale in the Bronx, very close. When I was first living in New York, I was the personal assistant of the guy that played Roy Biggins in the TV show Wings. You guys get it. David Schramm, and I moved him to Riverdale as my first job.
Really?
Wow. Yep. Anybody watch the TV show Wings? It still holds up. Thank you, sir.
One guy's into it.
His name was Roy Biggins in the show, and he was fat, so you get how the writing
was. Okay, that was pretty good.
Yeah, smart.
It was a good show. It launched the career of Thomas Hayden Church.
Exactly. Our favorite Sandman.
Yep.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite Sandman. That's true.
And so you helped him move? You helped him move?
Basically? I literally helped him move a bunch of old theater memorabilia.
Cool.
His new house.
So do you think there's a way you could work that into your comic book?
Yeah, so he knows
there's
the
definitely Archie's a way. Eyes. I don't know if we will.
Sorry, slight sidebar there, guys. Yeah. Just a little
that was
personal.
Good.
So I feel like I ask this on the show every time somebody comes in with some sort of music-inflected comic book, and certainly there's been plenty of music in Archie, from the Archies to Josie and the Pussycat to even Archie Meets Kiss and other crossovers. But since comics are not an auditory medium, that's one of the only things they're lacking. How are you tackling it in the book? How are you tackling the music?
Well, I think one of the things we do is we put a lot of emphasis on making sure that when the Ramones are playing, especially, it's big. It's sort of the only thing on the page. It's all you can look at. And we sort of want to just make sure that it's energetic and then encourage you to be listening to the Ramones while you read it, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, Giselle's such a Ramones fan, so she's able to kind of lay out the page in a way, Matt was saying, that you use a double page spread, a big focus panel, just emphasize how important that moment is. I mean, there's one scene where the Ramones start playing for the first time and the Archies have arrived back in the 70s and they're just blown away. The whole bar is blown away, and that's really because Giselle kind of directs it so well.
Yeah.
And now we've got the Ramones here. What's the next band you would want to do after? We've just seen Kiss, obviously.
I would love to do a Talking Heads Meet Archie.
Yes.
Nice.
We'll see. If anyone has David Byrne's number, do not give it to me because I will harass him. I will harass him.
Matt, what about you? What's your second dream band?
The Ramones was kind of my dream band, so that's weird, but I don't know, maybe like Minor Threat, something like that.
I'm getting more and more esoteric. I love it. Getting deep.
Pete, what about you? What would you want to see, like Archie Meets Aerosmith or something like that?
I would go bullshit. The other. Yeah, I would say like Ice-T or Ice Cube. That would be good.
Okay. Nice, yeah.
Archie Meets NWA. Just
yeah.
That's very cool.
Do you think you'd ever do like Nickelback meets Nickelback? They're good. Wait,
Nickelback meets Nickelback?
Yeah.
Wow, that would be crazy.
Yeah, time travel. Yeah. They'd meet each other.
Yeah, hopefully they would destroy each other.
The only people who would buy that is Nickelback.
Would they, like, go back in time to, like, prevent themselves from existing? Yeah.
We have to go back. Yeah. Nickelback.
What do you think? We could pitch stuff
we're ready.
Great.
What else is coming up? This is not the only thing you're involved in Archie. What else is coming up for Archie that you want
to
plug?
We're about to launch a new Josie and the Pussycats book. Nice. By Marguerite Bennett and Cameron DiOrdio. They're co-writing it. Audrey Moak is the artist. What else? And we just announced a new Reggie book, Reggie and Me, by Tom DeFalco and Sandy Jarrell. So we're expanding the new Riverdale stuff.
Cool. And speaking of Riverdale, you have the Riverdale TV show is coming out.
Yes, that's a premiering in January. And
The ad in the back of the comic books is so, like, intimidating. Yeah. It's just like a boat that looks like it's sinking.
Yeah, it's got a very Twin Peaks vibe, yeah.
Twin Peaks, so yeah, I don't know.
I've seen the pilot, and we were just talking about it a little bit backstage. It's surprising how noir it is, but still true to the characters. So it's like,
cool.
In the same way Afterlife treats the Archie characters really respectfully, but it's still a creepy horror book, this does the same thing, but in a noir kind of crime drama way.
The Afterlife books were amazing.
Yeah. Still are.
Yeah, they're still going.
Yeah, I love those books.
Yeah. Do you think that you guys would have been able to do the Riverdale pilot this way if it wasn't for the Afterlife books and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and that whole line, that whole reinvention of Archie?
No, I think those books really show that Archie's Archie in whatever setting you put him in. You can do a horror book, you can do Sabrina as, like, the Bride of Cthulhu, you can kill Archie, you can show them as 30-year-olds, like, experiencing the dramas of being older. And as long as they're true to the characters, it's still Archie. And so that kind of got the ball rolling. And Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who writes Afterlife, is the showrunner on Riverdale. So he kind of shepherded that.
Cool. And I just before we move on, I just want to mention we were talking about this before. If you guys aren't reading Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, that is, pardon my language, the most fucked up
book. It's fucked up. It's really fucked up.
It's great,
in a great
it's
way.
So good. Yeah. Before we move on, though, Matt, you had a big announcement today. Earlier today.
Yeah. I'm writing Rock Raccoon for Marvel.
Nice.
Oh, awesome. All right.
Yeah. I guess people know who he is. I actually, at San Diego Comic Con, I was sort of talking about it a little bit when I maybe shouldn't have been. But I was like, oh, I'm doing Rock Raccoon. It's very cool. And I met these, like, 11-year-old kids who were making comics and trying to raise money for their school. And I was talking to them. And I told them that their comics were really cool, and I gave them some money, and then I was like, your comics are much better than mine was at your age. And they were like, oh, do you make comics? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm writing Rock Raccoon for Marvel. And the little girl burst into tears. Aww. And ever since then, I've had this, like, I'm much more intimidated about my job these days.
So. You have a visceral emotional reaction every time you open your laptop.
Yeah, people like Rock Raccoon, so it's I'm pretty excited about it.
So what's your take on Rock Raccoon? How are you approaching the book?
He tries to make this little girl happy all the time. Yeah. He fails, and it's terrible.
Yeah,
he's
just someone's pet raccoon. No, my Rocket is he's on Earth, and he's stuck on Earth, and he hates Earth because it's a terrible place. And it's his attempt to get off the planet when sort of no one takes him seriously. He's a man trapped.
Rocket Raccoon is pretty much exclusively paired with Groot at this point. Is Groot also in the series, or is this Rocket Raccoon solo?
It is Rocket by himself. There are people you will recognize who pop up here and there. But
will there be other trees that he'll be near?
He's in New York City, so if he goes to the park and stuff, there'll be trees.
I hope so.
Does Squirrel Girl ever try to control him at any point?
Interesting. You'll have to read it.
Really touched on something. Whoa. I think my tree question was pretty good as well. Thanks, I knew it. Oh, he's so touched.
Yeah, you got me. Cool. Anything else you want to plug? I think there's one more book.
A book out now called Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, which is two issues out from Black Mask. That is sort of a crime comedy. I hesitate to say it's a comedy because when people are like, it's not very funny, I feel really bad. So, but it is. Yeah, it's pretty dark. But there's definitely a crime.
Friends.
So I lead with the crime. There's definitely a crime. People have never been like, there's not a crime in the book. And it's about four children who rob a bank.
Nice.
Awesome.
All right. Very cool. And Archie Meets the Ramones, when does that come out?
October 5th.
Yeah. All right. There we go. So everybody pick it up.
Coming up.
And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, and In the stack, we're going to go back for some books that we particularly like this week. Let's kick it off with Batman, Detective Comics number 940.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't read the previous 939 books, turn away now. This book is so good. Pete, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah. This is a fantastic emotional issue.
Yeah.
And also just like... The build-up to this issue has been really amazing, and the tons of action, and just the father-daughter relationship with Batwoman and her father. It's just the writing on this book is amazing, and I've just really been loving the series, and this issue, without spoiling anything, is just absolutely heartbreaking.
So to give you a little bit about the plot, Batman has put together a team of bat heroes to battle an unknown threat that, of course, Batman knows exactly what the threat is. It turns out it's Batwoman's father who has put together a massive army of soldiers modeled on Batman who are trying to take down the bat team and kill, I think it's 200-something citizens in Gotham City with drones who they think are sleeper agents for the League of Shadows.
Which is an organization that Batman's like, it's not real.
Yeah, which of course we know it's real.
Yeah so it's interesting. Real. Now, when this book first relaunched, it felt like just another sort of reboot with like, oh, we threw these random characters together. Clayface, didn't see that coming. He used to be a villain. But from that premise point, it's just become so good. Like, the emotional... takes on the characters, James Tynion's writing is just so good.
It's the gigantic budget Batman mythos action movie that you want mixed with actual real character moments in every issue, and it's incredible. And particularly, I mean, you're a huge Tim Drake spoiler fan, right?
Yeah, so I love that relationship. I ship them. Right? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's how you say it, right? Use that language all the time.
Kids say it that way.
Yeah, you, the young one here.
Uh-huh.
And to see them together, it feels like they're just brand new and in love again. Oh, it's just lovely.
Yeah.
It warms any weird person's heart.
Oh, right? We should also talk about Eddie Barrow's art, which is incredible. It takes a little bit of its cues from the layouts occasionally from the Batwoman comic by, was it J.H. Williams III, mm-hmm. I want to say? So it has a little bit of a touch of that, but it's definitely its own thing. It feels like superhero comics at its finest. It's amazing.
And it's the kind of thing that makes me wish that this book was getting more like this big arc where all these cool things happen, but it's just another, read this maybe.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, it's not like a Batman event. It's just what's going on in the book.
Right.
And so it doesn't get that sort of hype, and I wish it did.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do.
I get it, what you're saying. But I think, I mean, my guess is you have this arc that's happened that is moving on to this Night of the Monster Men crossover, and then we're going to get back to it, and it's just going to build and build and keep returning to the same things and get bigger and bigger. Yeah. That's my hope. Are you guys Batman fans, reading any of the Batman books, or are you too busy?
No, I'm a fan. I like what James is doing. I think it's kind of a culmination of what he's been building toward, and it's really an organic series, and you were saying it's like an all-star cast of Bat characters like Batwoman and Tim Drake. A lot of characters that didn't really get their due until DC did the Batman Weeklies over the last couple of years. So it's nice to kind of see that roll into a main Bat book. And I will not spoil what happens in there.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite books that DC's doing right now. I think it reminds me a lot, just the dynamic of their team, that it's sort of a team, sort of a family. There's like some love interest there. It reminds me of like the Claremont X-Men in a way. It feels like DC's take on that, and it gets me excited because I think there's probably like a real long form plan, and I'd follow it for a long time.
And it's nice to see Batman actually develop. He's not just this kind of authoritarian figure. He's actually allowing them to do what they've been doing for decades already. So yeah, it's good.
Plus, Clayface is there.
I know.
Yeah, I mean,
I really loved how much Clayface plays in this, and also like his character and like who he is and what happens. Like, I really thought like this is ridiculous, Clayface, but you fall in love with him.
Fall in love with him. Now, I've always one thing that bothers me about him is he's how much clay, he makes so much more clay all the time.
Is he endless clay?
Like, that's what, yeah. He's always getting bigger with, where's his clay coming from?
Maybe it's a Sandman situation, because we found out that Sandman is
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, Thomas Hayden is actually one grain of sand.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes, that so one maybe, very small. Well, that's where his like brain was.
Yeah, his brain was in that one grain of sand, so maybe it's the same thing.
Well, but I feel like you get around that because Sandman's like, yeah, there's sand everywhere, and I just pull it all toward me.
Right.
But Clayface, there's not clay everywhere.
Sure there is.
Where? Anything. Is there clay in this room right now that I'm like, I got it?
Sure.
Maybe.
Is there sand in this room right now? Yeah, is there sand everywhere?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I feel like Sandman, when he's drawn,
I mean, if
so
he's on the
books,
beach, then it's a great
He's often
moment.
On the
yeah.
beach. I feel like yeah. he goes there. But I think he's often like, you see sand sort of coming from far away.
From
and
the
so
sewer.
That's where I'm like, yeah, oh, he's just pulling all the sand in this yeah. neighborhood
There should
together.
Be cutaways in every issue going to a small kid who used to have a sad castle being like, oh, man.
Oh, Sandman's committing a crime.
Come on, Sandman.
And then a kid who has a clay castle. Yeah. Who is building something that is more sturdy.
All these right. like artists who are you know, making pottery and stuff, like, God damn it.
Yeah, all this pottery.
Yeah, it's like the yeah. ghost scene is happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like
breaking up
like,
ghost
oh,
romances.
Come on.
I think we've covered this scientifically.
No, I think we should keep going with it. All right, let's oh, talk okay. about Doom Patrol, number one, yeah. also from DC Comics. This is the kickoff of the Young Animal line, which is the heir apparent, I would say, to Vertigo from Gerard Way.
This is the first book, I believe, from
The
that.
First book. It's rebooting a bunch of classic weirder DC properties
yeah, yeah.
with, you know, a young millennial twist.
Oh, cool. So this is right up your alley.
Yeah, that's what we kids like. Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. Are you yeah. shipping this book to your friends so that they read it?
Yeah, in the mail.
Am I using that correctly?
Nope. So you like this book.
I did. I like this a lot. So Doom Patrol was one of those books when I was young that I was like, whoa, what is yeah. this even about?
Yeah.
And I still think that from reading this because it's... you don't quite know what's happening with what Gerard is writing here. Especially later, it just cuts to, like, just, like, there's a lion full of arrows, and you don't know why. Mm-hmm. But I'm into that. Like, that's very cool.
So, just real quick, if you haven't never read Doom Patrol, it started as a bunch of weird heroes. So, there's a race car driver who died, and his brain ended up in a robot body. At first, there was a girl who could grow gigantic. Yeah. There was a guy, lady in bandages that had some stuff going on. And yeah. there was the weird Professor X type. It was almost a riff on X-Men, almost a riff on Fantastic Four, but weirder all the time.
Yeah, I feel like the when I was reading it as a kid, the take was like, oh, this is the X-Men, but they're sort of shittier. Like, yeah. their powers don't quite work, mm-hmm. and they're, like, fucked up.
Yeah,
like the mediocre X-Men.
Yeah, they really, yeah, exactly. really did seem like the Great Lakes Avengers X-Men. Mm-hmm. It is the Doom Patrol.
That's a good way of putting it. Here we meet a ambulance driver who ends up encountering one of the members of the Doom Patrol. That's the first half of the book, and then it yeah. spirals out of control.
Yeah. yeah.
Very quickly in the second half of the book. Goes totally insane. The art's really good. I was just so surprised because the first half of the book is this very typical, oh, we meet a new character who's going to meet all of our Doom Patrol characters and put them together. Cool. I know what's going on with this book. And then a trash can explodes, and people are, there's guys screaming at the air.
There's people living inside of a gyro.
Yep. Yeah.
They say, what's going on with Niles Calder? And he's playing a piano in the woods. A bunch of other things happen. Somebody blows up a guy into birthday cakes. And then there's Aslan, I want to say.
That's what I thought, too, but maybe not.
Shot with arrows. Maybe it's a Jesus metaphor. I don't know. And a guy who's blue with brick. It's yeah. pretty weird.
It's weird, but that's not
enjoyable,
to say
though.
It's, yeah, it's not bad.
Thing.
It
yeah.
feels like sort of the weird montage at the beginning of a movie that then you later learn about why all these things are there later.
Yeah. yeah. Are you guys Doom Patrol fans? Have you checked this out?
I mean, I was a fan of the Morrison Doom Patrol, that kind of late 80s proto Vertigo stuff. Like, yeah. Morrison's Animal Man's one of my favorite runs ever. Wow. So I was really psyched about this, and it's weird. It's pleasantly weird. You know, it doesn't tell you everything right away. I'd never seen Nick Darrington's art before, so I was really impressed. And, you know, got me enough to want to read the second issue. So.
I feel like if you liked Umbrella Academy, you'll yeah. like this book. This yeah. is very much in that same vein.
Yeah, that's. I really loved Umbrella Academy, and I hadn't read Morrison's Doom Patrol at the time, and everyone was like, oh, it owes a lot to that, so I think it's kind of beautiful that he's now doing
yeah.
the Doom Patrol, that everyone's like, oh, it's very Morrison. I think that's sort of... You know, he wears that on his
sleeve. There's some back matter in the book that talks about the formation of the line, and he's been pitching this for, like, years. So yeah. it finally slotted in and worked out. So
it'll be interesting.
Well, it's kind of cool to see, like, the Vertigo-esque touch on DC properties again.
Yeah,
there was a while where they were separate, so...
Really cool. All right, last one to talk about before we move on. House of Penance, number 6 from Dark Horse Comics. I can tell by your rapturous applause all of you have been reading this. Yeah. But shame on you. You absolutely should be.
Shame on you.
It's always good to confront an audience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really. Look at yourselves. Yeah.
Shame the audience that showed
up
for our show.
If you're listening at home, please hold a mirror up to your face and start crying. Yeah.
What?
Shame on you.
No, man.
Shame.
Classic Alex review.
Shame. That's all I want to say about it. Just shame on you.
You said shame on you, but this is a really weird comic. A lot weirder than Doom Patrol.
I mean, I guess.
No, it is so weird that doesn't
make any... Why are you
being
so coy?
It doesn't make any sense, whereas Doom Patrol is kind of enjoyable.
How many issues of House of Penance have you read?
Two.
Which ones?
First one and this one.
Okay, so you read the first issue and the sixth issue.
There's some issues missing.
And you found it confusing. Okay, so the concept of the book is Mary Winchester.
I feel like if I've read them all, this still doesn't...
I gotta say, I rarely agree with Pete, but you could still read all of them and be like, wait a second, what?
Thank you.
It's almost like a tone poem in a way, the whole
thing. I agree with
thing.
You.
Yeah. The real star here is the art more than anything. Like, the writing is very good. It's really solid. But the art is stupendous. The idea of the book is that Mary Winchester has been driven crazy by the death of her family. She has hired a series of ex-convicts to continually build out her house, make it bigger and stranger, because she believes that the banging of hammers will keep ghosts and demons away and keep their spirits safe. But all the entire time, for those of you in the audience, you can see this, there's just these tentacles of blood that are feeding through the house. A new convict comes in. She has a connection with them. Here, a earthquake literally tears the house down, both metaphorically and physically, and wraps up the story. And it's just heartbreaking and sad and beautiful. And it's exactly what the title says. It's about whether you can pay your penance, whether you can be redeemed, or whether you'll continually go on. And I think it's a really beautiful book.
I agree with you. A tone poem is sort of a nice way of saying, because I think it's a book about gun violence, like an anti-gun book, because it's Mary Winchester of the Winchester family, and there's a lot of like sort of gun things at the border of this comic, and it's really well done the way it takes sort of the emotions you might feel about that and sort of tells a story with using those and then lands with a final image that I think is very, very cool.
Yeah, it's great. So kudos to Peter J. Tomasi, Ian Bertram on art, Dave Stewart on colors. This is a great book.
Yeah. Once it's in trade. Buy in the trade, because this is the last issue. The trade will be awesome for this.
And I read it digitally, so I thought it was a spread, but it's actually just like 6 or 7 pages that all connect to each other in the middle are stupendous.
Yeah.
Incredible. So pick it up. All right, and that's it for the stack.
Yeah!
We did it. All right, guys, it's time for my favorite section because I get to come out to you guys, the audience. It's your audience questions.
Fantastic. Hooray.
So all you have to do in your audience questions is ask a question about absolutely anything. You can ask something for one of our amazing guests here, for the entire panel, about anything, and you're going to get some free comics. You, sir, I saw your hand up. I'm going to come over to you. What's your name? What's your question?
Kevin, you've been talking about how the change with Archie in recent years, and you've worked with Afterlife and the Noir, and about being true to the characters. Are there any shifts you've wanted to do that you just haven't had a chance to do yet, or a twist that you think would be just so crazy?
There is stuff coming up that will surprise you. I think there's definitely twists that have not been made yet. And you mentioned Kevin, that's your name. It's also reminded me of Kevin Keller, which... the introduction of that character, the first gay character in Archie Comics, that's really what kind of kicked the doors down and showed that Archie wasn't just going to be the same old, like, you know, chocolate shakes at the malt shop with Pops. You know,
we got that covered, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to see a story about Archie getting a chocolate shake,
he's had a lot.
There's nothing wrong with chocolate shakes.
Yeah, but that and the wedding of Archie, the kind of alternate weddings, that's really what got things rolling. And really, now Archie's reputation is less about being retro and kind of old school, and it's more progressive. Like, now people come to expect a progressive vibe. So I think our options are pretty unlimited at this point.
Cool. All right. Great answer. Let's get another question. You, sir, up there, going to come over to you. This is great. I get to run to people.
It's really great. This is finally great. Getting some exercise.
It's just really working out very nicely. Good,
yeah. For a man who's never moved in his life, it's really great to see you out there.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. I'm interested to watch you. You're like a young deer first taking his first step.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little wobbly. Like a fawn. What's your name? What's your question, sir?
Name's Hugo. I was hoping we could get some story ideas for the inevitable Archie meets comic book club.
Yeah, all
great
right.
Question.
Hugo, Archie meets comic book club. What do you got? What do you got, guys?
Go pitch.
I think it would be a horror book.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
No time
wait,
travel.
Wait. On what side?
Yeah, like who are the monsters? Who are the real
monsters?
I don't think we need to explain that.
Pete is the real monster? Okay.
Wait, you have a question, Pete?
No, I was just saying I will volunteer myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Good.
I feel itself. Like, I mean, just to pitch something out at you guys, Pete would try to have a hamburger eating contest with Jughead and lose. Just like straight up lose.
I think
that's like,
just
I
like painfully lose.
Yeah, in real life, you can't eat that many hamburgers.
Well, who would you challenge? Would you really go up against Dilbert for like a geek,
Dilton?
A geek thing? Or sorry, Dilbert. Tilton, yeah, of course.
No,
Dilbert's,
I challenge
Dilbert. I want Dilbert to be there too.
Yeah, it's
just
a
double cool. Cross.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex versus Dilton versus Dilbert, and who's the biggest nerd?
Dilbert's going to win, I think.
Yeah, you're right. No, you versus Dilton.
Sure, I'm up for that.
Invention.
What
content.
About you? You versus Reggie, maybe?
It's like who's a real dickhead?
Yep.
Harsh.
Huh? Well, Reggie's like the jerk, and Alex is trying to say I'm the jerk.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Here's the thing. We've known each other for 10 years, and we hate each other.
Just going to throw
Let's
that
get
out
of boat!
Woo! cool. Any other pitches, you guys?
Yeah, so horror, you're saying horror, some sort of zombie situation?
Some kind of violence, yeah.
I found the back room really creepy.
Yeah.
So that was sort of where that
It had a
from.
Shining vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah. It had a, like, you know how in, I mean, maybe you don't, but in The Shining, none of the, if you follow the geography of the hotel, none of it makes sense. Like, it makes right angles and right angles and right angle turns, and then it's just like a concentric circle. It's kind of like that back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are meant to drive you mad before you come out
and
on the show.
There's a huge bar.
This
with
is
like
totally
a
unrelated, but Pete is going to be taking a bath later if you want to watch.
Oh,
yeah.
I will consider that.
I think that's some good pitches for a Shining crossover for our podcast. Who else has got a question? You're going to get some free comics. You, ma'am, right over there. What's your name? What's your question?
Sam. My question is for Matt and Alex. As a writing team, who would you say, which of you is the Betty and which of you is the Veronica?
Ooh.
Great question. Wow.
That is a good question.
And we should mention they both have brown hair, so this is really hard
it's
to
very
answer.
It's very hard.
I don't know.
Very hard to answer.
I would say that in this process, I felt like more of a Betty because to me, Veronica is like a...
It's all coming out now.
She's like, no, she,
exactly.
She's,
the writing
she's,
team is broken up.
She's the one run. Who, I mean, I like Veronica. Yeah. She's the one who has to be mean sometimes. And Alex, as both the writer and the company guy, was the one who had to bust heads and crack whips a little bit. And I got
sense.
To just, you know, sort of be bubbly and giggly. And
you do have a real girl next door vibe to
you. He does, yeah.
Alex, do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
Ah, nice.
I think part of... being the Archie person meant also kind of taking a little bit of the editorial side and cracking the whip when it needed to be cracked.
Wow.
And it was easy because I could tell myself that I needed to meet a deadline and it would work most of the time.
Very interesting. So the whip cracking was sort of going in one direction.
It's like self-abuse. Yeah.
So if you're the Veronica and you're the Betty, then who's the Archie?
Probably Giselle.
Yeah, I guess Giselle.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Yeah. Okay, it's never going to work out with her, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Cool. I think we have time for one more question. You're going to get some free comics just for asking a question. You, sir, right over there, going to come over to you. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name's Louis.
Hey,
and
Louis.
It's, would Rocket Raccoon vote Trump or Hillary?
Wow. Interesting.
You know, I was on a panel. I'm also doing a book for Marvel. I'm doing Kingpin. I'm doing,
nice.
Yeah, right now I'm doing Civil War Kingpin for Marvel, and the next year I'm doing a Kingpin ongoing. And on a panel, I said that Kingpin, you know, he's a hero in his own mind, and he wants to save New York City and make New York City great again. And the crowd was kind of shocked that I said it, and I felt like everyone... sort of was bummed that I said it. So I think that in answering this question, this very loaded question, I would say that Rocket probably would vote third party.
Oh, no.
He's probably not registered to vote because he's a raccoon-ish thing.
Is that because he'd vote Jill Stein because she's into Macron crystals?
I will say he's also he's also an immigrant to this country, so I'm going to say probably not going to vote for Trump.
Yeah. Now, do you think the crowd was upset because they were like...
Big Trump fans?
No, no. If they were like, no, even the Kingpin's a villain, but he's not as bad as Trump. was that what bothered them?
No, I think people just don't want to hear... politics.
They just
don't want to hear anything about politics anymore.
Well, I mean, Kingpin does a lot of Trump things, but he is...
I like to think that Trump does a lot of Kingpin things.
That's true.
Oh, interesting.
I will say...
Well said. So you're voting Kingpin then this year?
Sure.
The real character?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Daredevil beat up Trump in the middle of New York City. That would be fun.
Oh, man.
Let's get Trump in the Marvel Universe. Maybe you could introduce him as a rival the Kingpin has to go up against. I mean, his health is very good, so obviously he'll be around for a long time. Yeah. So we have time to develop this.
You can introduce Dr. Oz, too. Just bring him on.
Dr. Oz, exactly. Mike Pence, Dr. great Oz hero.
All right, great questions, you guys. Thank you for your audience questions.
Yes.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for I'm going to turn over to my best friend, Pete LePage.
Cool. So this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience, and it's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars. Who would like a chance to win $25 free dollars? A simple raising of the hand will do it. Yeah, guy who's getting poked in the arm, why don't you volunteer?
Yeah, come on up.
Yeah, that's great. Come on up, guy.
Yeah, there we go. All right, all you have to do is walk on down and get $25. Here you go.
What is your name, sir?
Ricky.
Ricky, audience Ricky.
Hey.
All right, so Ricky, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you will win $25. So as long as you know everything about Archie Comics, you'll be fine.
Word.
All right. Archie Comics was founded in 1939 as what? Is it A, MLJ Magazine, B, Archie Digest, or is it C, Tiger Beat Magazine? So it's either A, is correct.
A.
Yeah, nice job. All right, question number two. Archie first appeared in what comic? Is it Archie number one, B, Comics number 22, or is it C, Will They, Won't They Comics number one?
B
is correct.
Wow, this guy does not fuck around.
All right, here we go. In Archie Meets the Ramones, Archie and friends are in New York City in what time period? Is it A, the 1970s, B, the 1960s, or is it C, the land before time? So it's either A.
Hey.
Nice job.
Great.
$25 for you, sir. In the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you would go to comic book shop.
Fantastic. Speaking of where you'd spend it, actually, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. That's really good timing. You can take your gift card.
I'm so surprised by that
news. I can't believe it.
You've been taking some acting classes.
I mean, it came up so quickly. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to Punisher number 5, Power Man and Iron Fist number 8. And also all new Wolverine number 12.
What is this, soapbox time for Pete to just go on a rant?
Yep, a little soapbox.
You just shouted out nouns and numbers. Is there anything about any of these books you'd like to...
Maybe just pick
one of them, huh?
I like them all. They're great.
You like them all?
Yep.
Great.
That's not a description.
Nope.
Refuses description. Yeah. Great. So
just make a recommendation? If you never take a job as a car salesman. I'm saying.
I feel like I could sell
because you'd be like, Nissan Sentra, 1986. And they'd be like, oh, what's good about it? You're like, I've said all I need to say.
Nissan Sentra said it all. Also, don't sell a car from 1986. you're a very bad salesman.
That was my first car. I really loved it.
Really?
Yeah, Nissan Sentra.
1986. You're very, very old.
It's the only car I can think of.
There are others.
I'll tell you what. I also should not be a car salesman.
Yeah. No, you're dressed like one.
Thank you. Do you want to buy a car?
I'm only in the market for a very old Nissan Sentra.
Are you in the market for any comic books?
Yes. I'm looking forward to, this is not any sort of pandering, but Archie number 12 comes out tomorrow.
Oh, pandering.
Not pandering. I would say that no matter who was here.
Yeah, he does plug Archie a lot.
I do really like the Mark Waid Archie run. It's super fun. Mark Waid does a whole page in the back where he talks about Archie in general and sort of sets up a classic story, which I think it's such a nice package. So it's definitely worth checking out. Great characters, great. His take on them was very good.
I'm looking forward to Chew number 58 is coming out. Yep.
Yeah, it didn't make your list. It didn't make your hot list?
Well, it was also on my list, but I'm so glad you mentioned
it. You had to limit yourself to three picks?
Yeah, because normally you guys
300% of the picks that we're allowed to make at the end of the show? Okay. Yeah. So
we're allowed because we made those rules a long time ago?
Chew 58 is coming out. It's hard to sell it at this point because it's 3 issues away from the end, but this book is so good. It's been heading towards not even an apocalyptic, like it's literally an apocalyptic ending, but also just a heartbreaking ending, definitely. I don't know what's going to happen at this point, but it's managed to stay funny and weird and heartfelt and strange for 58 issues at this point. Yeah. I can't wait to see how this ends up.
Every issue has been fantastic.
Yeah, there we go. Cool. Oh, now you want to say something. All right, Alex, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to 2 Tom King comics. Batman 7. It must have been so frightening to follow up Scott Snyder on Batman.
Yeah.
And he's actually done a really magnificent job.
He really has.
Oh, man.
And then at the other end of the kind of storytelling spectrum is The Vision, which is this kind of creepy, low-key book that...
They love The Vision.
The Vision is the best.
Yeah, Vision 11.
No offense to anyone here, but The Vision is my number one comic right now to read. Yeah. Like, it is so
couldn't
good.
Disagree more.
But wow.
Okay. Well, it's one of those books that's going to just last on your bookshelf, I feel like, once it's collected and out there. So
it's just so good.
Cool. Cool. Matt, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I was going to say The Vision, but so now I'm not going to do that. I'm really excited for the new Civil War because I really enjoyed it so far, and I love Bendis, and it's a beautiful book, and I'm excited to see where it goes, even though... I know partially where it goes, but I'm excited to see.
So wait, where does it go?
I don't think I can say that.
Well, I'm sure Bendis wouldn't mind.
It's not a big deal. It's Bendis.
Yeah, Bendis is great.
You guys won't say
I don't know how it ends, but I did read the script for this issue. So I could say what happens 12 hours early, but I'm not going to.
Smart choice.
Thank you. But also the new Rick Remender, Jerome Pena book from Image. I took 2. So
that's okay.
Is it? 7 to Eternity? It's got a weird title.
Cool. Yes,
that's right. I think
it's going to be beautiful again. You guys, what should people check out?
Well, Archie Meets Ramones hits October 5th. It's co-written by us, art by Giselle Lagasse, and I mean the title basically says it all. The Archies go back in time and meet the Ramones.
But you should still buy it.
Yeah.
You don't need to just look at the title and be like, I know.
Yeah. Cool. All right, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, if you're coming to see it live, it's going to be back at its regular time, 7:30, and over Crosstown at the Pit Loft. We're going to have 3 great guests on the show. Brian Heater, Anthony Ha, and Scheiber, all of TechCrunch, are going to be here.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to them about Crunch and Tech or Crunch and Comics.
Just Crunch and Tech.
There you go. Also, the show is free to see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. If you're here in the theater and would like to drop a couple of bucks in our Corona bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
please do.
Guys, change your whole attitude while you're at it.
or if you're listening at home, we have a Patreon account. Patreon.com/comicbookclub, where you can get some fun rewards. You can join our sticker club. You can sponsor a show. We'll send you our swag, other things like that. So please check that out. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter @comicbooklive.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Alex and Matt for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Our fabulous interns, Yvonne Bell, Tom Dark, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Louis DC on photo. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday night totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Everybody.
Good
night. Thanks for coming
thank
out.
You.
Just turn to your body. Everything. Jenna Lee.